Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're a privileged people, Lord, to have this opportunity to come into thy presence, knowing that the great God and who is the author and finisher of our faith has come down in this hour with a shout. We know that shout to be a military command, a message to make ready a prepared people for the Lord. And so, Lord, we see the conditions of the world, as Brother Brown called them, birth pains. The earth is falling apart. And Lord, we recognize that the earth is shaking. The temperatures are out of control. There's freezing in areas not used to freezing. There's extreme heat in places not used to extreme heat. And so, Lord, we realize that some are saying it's global heat. Others saying global cooling. They don't know what they're talking about. It's birth pains. Getting ready for the new Jerusalem. And so, Lord, we recognize that the whole world is falling apart. And we know that because your Holy Spirit is getting ready to lift off of the earth. And so we pray, Father, that as your holy presence begins to lift from the earth, that we would be truly so in touch with thee that we would feel it and know it. For that hour, as your prophet said, would come in, that catching away would come in such an hour that man would think not. And so, Father, help us to be ever, ever tilled up in our soul and ever prayed up, O God, that when your Spirit does leave, that we'll know it and we'll be ready to leave with you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I'd like to again read from paragraph 14 from Brother Bram's sermon, The Spoken Word is Original Seed. And in the same paragraph that we read last night, there is yet another thought that I would like to speak on this morning. He said, there's been many times that I have scolded churches, denominations, the dressing of women, the acting of men. I think I have thoroughly supported that by Scripture. And never one time, God knowing my heart, have I ever had a bad feeling towards anyone. Now think about this. Scolding denominations, churches, how the women dress and the men act, scolding them and yet not having a bad feeling toward any of them. So, in other words, being able to place the rage against sin and not the sinner. No matter if they disregard me or disagreed with me, as far as the east is from the west, I still love them. And as long as I have the Spirit of God in me, I'll always love His church, His people, no matter what they do or how they treat me. That won't have anything to do with it. I still love them. In Romans 12 and verse 9, Paul says, let love be without dissimulation. Does anyone know what dissimulation means? Anyone tell me? Let love be without dissimulation. Steve, I'm going to call on you. Okay. Anyone else? Let love be without dissimulation. No, it's not the same word. It's similar. I'll just tell you. Let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, don't show it to the people in the front, and when they turn their back, change your way. It says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I really like the way the NIV translates this scripture because it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Now notice verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honoring one another above your own selves. Wow. What a message. What power over self for those who can enter into this kind of love. Now think about that. No more feeling sorry for self, because your eyes are not on self. No more anguish over things not working out the way that you had them planned to work out. Why? Because you don't have time to think about self. Because all your time is engaged in those you are devoted to. No more self-pity. No more feeling sorrow for yourselves. No, because perfect love, like eternal life, is living for others. Now, a real mother knows what I'm talking about. Young women that have never had children won't understand what I'm talking about. But a real mother lives for her husband. She lives for her children like the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. And she has no regrets. No. None at all, for she loves her husband. She loves her children. But the modern woman is all regrets because her life is all about self. And that is why I think for a man and a woman to have children, there is no greater teacher about self-sacrificial love in life. You give because you love, and you love to give of yourself. But in this world, they are marrying later and later in life, and I really think that is a mistake. I used to think that was good. I used to think they should wait because, well, they're not ready at those young ages. But the more they wait, the longer they go without experience what real love is all about. And what an experience to be missing out on. Because self-sacrificial love is what develops our character. And I'm not saying that you cannot enter into this kind of love without having children. But the only other way that I know is to do so in the missionary field. Now remember, the scripture does say, speaks of the woman and says, and she should be saved through childbearing. It's not talking about having babies. It's talking about the life that you give after having those babies. In other words, you get away from self and you're so centered on those little children that God can develop your character that way. Now that doesn't mean that you have to go overseas to experience this sort of giving. It means that though you must have that desire to help others, even though there is no one to help you when you need it most. And that helps to shape our character. How many times we sit and we frown, we maybe feel bad for ourselves because, well, I've given all this help and nobody's here to help me. But see, if you're focused on others, you won't feel that way. You don't have time to feel that way. Notice he said, be kindly affectioned one to another and honor one another. And this is true love. This word kindly affection was translated from a Greek word philostorgos, which means cherishing one's kind, one's kindred, especially parents or children. Fond of natural relatives, fraternal towards fellow Christians, kindly affection. So when it's talking about kindly affection, it's talking about the same kind of affection you'd have for your own brothers and sisters, your own mother, your own children, have one toward another. So we see the example that I gave you is right in line with the scriptures. You need to be devoted to one another, even as a mother is devoted to her children. Now in examining verse 9, we found the Apostle Paul tell us, I'd like to read it from the NIV again, Romans 12 and 9, that our love must be sincere. Now, the word sincere does not mean that we should put on the dog and become sweet and engaging or beguiling. But the word sincere means to be genuine and straightforward. Therefore, he's telling us that our love must be genuine and straightforward. Then Paul goes on to say, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Yes, cling to what is good. And that will make you want to be devoted to one another in brotherly love and honor one another above your own self. Now let's stop for a few minutes this morning and examine this sincere love. He says love must be sincere, not should be, but must be. Love must be sincere. And then he tells us what sincere love is. He says, hate evil and cling or hold on to like glue to those things which are good. Now everybody wants to talk about love, a love that's tolerant. Everyone is into tolerance these days until you speak of the truth, and then they have no tolerance for truth. You know, it is politically correct these days to be intolerant of truth, but tolerant of everything else. That seems to be the only thing that is politically okay to bash, and that is because true Christianity is true love, because it is based on God's love, for God is love. And for them to speak of loving as being tolerant is so far from the truth, because how can you love what God hates? If God is love, then our love should be a reflection of God. And if our love is a reflection of God who is love, then perfect love is a perfect God. And if we do not even understand who God is, then how could we understand love? For God is the Word, and He is the perfect Word. Another thing Paul told us about love we find in 1 Corinthians 13 and 8. He said, love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. In Hebrews chapter 5 and chapter 6, Brother Branham said, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. See, that's perfect. What is perfect? Love. And what is love? It is God. Now, Brother Brown taught us that what is perfect is the Word. In questions and answers, he said, 1 Corinthians 13 says this, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. So all these little things of jumping up and down like a kid, trying to talk in tongues and all those other things, when that which is perfect, and we do have today by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the Word with divine vindication, then that which is in part is done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. And the world wants nothing to do with this love that we're talking about this morning, because they want nothing to do with God. And God is the Word, and God is love. Jesus tells us the reason that the world hates you, in John 15, verse 17, he says, these things I command you, that you love one another. First of all, we see Jesus tell us that we are to love one another, and not we should love one another. But he says, these things I command you. So we're dealing with a command, and not just a nice thought. But notice immediately he lets us know that the world will hate us anyhow. And he lets us know the reason it will hate us is that it hated him first. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. He tells us the world hates you because you are the chosen of the Lord. In 1 John 3 and verse 13, John says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. How do we know we passed from death unto life? Because we love the brethren. In other words, he's telling us that to hate is the easy way out. It seems that the world so hates what is good, and since there is so little that is good, the world is having a heyday in hating. You can't read the papers and listen to the radio, or hear some movie, but what deals with someone hating someone? The world is filled with hate and violence, and it is a strange and peculiar thing for brethren to be loving one another with godly love. And John continues, he says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed. That's in your actions and truth. Because any hypocrite can love with words only, but actions speak louder than words any day of the week. In Luke 6:22, we read, blessed are ye when men will hate you. And when they shall separate you from their company, and they shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. And Luke 6:26, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the cheek, offer the other cheek. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thanks have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Measure, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now look, I'd like to look at this love. In fact, this perfect love, for Brother Branham said that you will never enter into that place without that perfect love. From the rejected king, he said, O my precious friends, my beloved, my darlings of the gospel, my begotten children unto God, listen to me, your pastor. I wish there was some way that I could explain it to you. There's no words. I couldn't find it. It's not found anywhere, but just beyond this last breath is the most glorious thing that you ever. There is no way to explain it. There's no way. I just can't do it. But whatever you do, friends, lay aside everything else till you get perfect love. Get to the spot that you can love everybody, even your enemies, every enemy, everything else. That one visit there to me has made me a different man. I can never, never, never be the same Brother Branham that I was. And he's talking about having visited the other side. From the adoption, Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord. It'll take perfect love to put you in that place. For that's all that there was there. No matter how much, how religious demonstrations, how many good deeds you can do, or whatever you've done, that won't count nothing on that day. It'll take perfect love, so whatever you do, you lay aside everything else until you are just so filled with the love of God till you can love those who hate you. I'm just, as I said this morning, I was made, my whole makeup is grace. A lot of people, now, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Yeah, you do something for me and I'll do something for you, but that's not grace. Grace is, if your back is itching, I'll scratch it anyway, whether you scratch mine or not. You slap me on the face and say my back needs itching, needs scratching, I'll scratch it. See, that's it. Do something. I don't believe in works. I believe that works is love. Works is the manifestation that grace has taken place. I don't live true to my wife because I believe that she'd divorce me if I didn't. I live true to her because I love her. And from the rejected king, he said, and I heard a voice then that spoke to me that was in the room that said, this is what you preached was the Holy Ghost. This is perfect love, and nothing can enter here without it. I am more determined than ever in my life that it takes perfect love to enter there. There was no jealousy. There was no tiredness. There was no death. Sickness could never in there. Mortality could never make you old. And they could not cry. It was just one joy. Oh, my precious brother. You know, I will admit that I never really understood what Brother Branham meant by getting this perfect love, because I really never understood what this love was. Therefore, this has always bothered me since I heard Brother Branham speak it. I really never understood it because, like everything else, I had always had my mind made up as to what love was. But what is perfect love? We know that He taught us that which is perfect is the perfect interpretation of the Word with divine vindication. And we know that the Apostle John taught us that God is love. So we must never think of love in terms of our human way of expression, but we must think of it in terms of God's definition. We read in the Gospel of John that men are capable of loving, but notice what they love. In John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And in 1 John 2 and verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now, in order to better understand this, we must know what this love is, because God hated Esau, but God loved Jacob. Therefore, what is the Apostle John trying to tell us here? Well, we find our answer in a couple more chapters in 1 John, in chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So what's John telling us here? He's telling us that if we truly have perfect love, then we cannot fear, because perfect love casts out fear. It is fear that causes men to war with one another. And it is uncertainty and fear of the uncertainty that causes people to do things in a self-defense kind of thinking. And that is what causes strife and ill treatment toward one another, is fear. But perfect love casts out fear. From personal experience with God, Brother Branham said, we say we have faith, we have love. But if we had love, we'd have faith. For that is perfect love casteth out fear. And when fear is gone, faith is perfect. So if there's anything that you're fearing, you don't have faith. I don't care if it's your own situation. I don't care if it's you think what's coming on in the world. If you're living in fear, you're not living by faith. Because perfect love, and you don't have love, by the way. Because perfect love casteth out fear. The Apostle Paul said, faith worketh by love. Therefore, we must first have love in order to bring forth our faith. Galatians 5 and 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Why? Because faith is a revelation, and hope is an earnest expectation, and love is the outward expression of that revelation. Paul said, there remaineth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And therefore, if faith worketh by love, then the revelation is put into action by love. So we see that faith without love remains dormant. It remains passive. And we see that faith worketh by love, which means it is motivated by love. Therefore, love is greater than faith because it can move our faith from a passive faith into an active faith. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1 that after we have had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, our faith will begin to manifest in an outward expression of love for the brethren. And at this time, we will be ready to receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God, which is God's very mind. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, we read, and we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your works of faith and your labor of love and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now remember, the word of is an acronym, which means belonging to, or more specifically, out from. Therefore, we should read this verse as follows: as remembering without ceasing your work out from your faith, and your labor out from your love, and your patience out from your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. And to be more exact, I'd like to read it this way: remembering without ceasing your work, which was produced and characterized by the faith which is yours, and your labor, which is shaped and characterized by the love that you embrace, and evidently manifested through the patience that you possess due to the hope that you have in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God our Father. Paul continues in verse 4, remembering unceasingly your works that are produced and characterized by the faith which is yours, and your toil which is motivated and characterized by your divine and self-sacrificial love, and your patient endurance under trials, which finds its source in your hope, which rests in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of God, even our Father. You see, it all stems from our love for God, because He first loved us. Love shapes and molds the very nature of the expression that comes forth from your being as an evident token that you have been made alive. And your love expresses itself in self-sacrificial acts of charity towards one another with no regrets and no regards to self. And this brings upon you a peace which is characterized by the patience that you show forth, which is an evident token of your earnest expectation in our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3 we read, but we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the church of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which are a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In flaming fire he'll take vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they shall be punished with everlasting destruction out from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So our faith works by love. In other words, love is the motivating force that brings our faith into expression. It is love that takes hold of your faith and moves it from a dormant, passive faith into a vibrant, active faith. Faith is not about self, and neither is eternal life living for self, but eternal life is living for others. It is not the works that avail anything, but the works which have been produced because of love. The works are a byproduct. Love is what's important. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. Then love grounds you. It makes you stable, not flighty. From fellowship, Brother Branham said, now we have great things that we can do in the realm of faith. Faith works great things for us. And if you brethren here getting your, and you can't have faith till you have love. That's just all there is to it. See, perfect love casts out all fear. And as long as you got fear, you can't have faith. So you got to have love first. It drives out all fear. And then faith comes in. It takes the place of fear. So when you have that, then you're coming along the right way. Notice then that love is the motivator of faith. Ephesians 6:23 says, peace be to the brethren and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And from the Ephesian church age, Brother Branham said, Ephesus means the very name. Ephesus means a let go, relaxed, backslidden, called by God. The backslidden church. God acknowledged first their works, their labor, and their patience. God rebuked their leaving their first love for backsliding and for no longer bearing the light. Ephesus was not a deceived church. It failed itself by not continuing in perfect love. We always say they left their first love. They left the Word. No, they didn't continue in love. They didn't love the Word. That's why they left the Word. So you see, no matter how much knowledge you have, if you do not have love, you do not have faith, which is revelation. And knowledge will cease, but only perfect love will allow you to enter into that dimension where the elect will go. From explaining healing and Jairus, Brother Bram said electricity will light up. If you work according to the law of electricity, it has a right. If you had an artesian well on this side of a hill, putting out thousands of gallons of water per minute, and over on the other side of the hill, another hill, you've got a crop burning up, needing that water. No matter how much you screamed for water, go up the hill and water that crop, it'll never do it. But if you work according to the way of gravitation and run that water around the hill, it'll water the crop. Is that right? But you've got to work according to the law of gravitation. Well, now, if God is here all in this building, if God is here all in this building right now, and do you believe that? We're all conscious of it. You can't get it all in one night. You see, you're conscious that God is here. Now, the only thing that we can do is work according to the law of God for our healing. Is that right? What is the law of God? His love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Love and faith is the same thing. See, love, perfect love casts out all fear, which gives you faith. And even the Apostle Paul spoke of love and faith as being the same thing in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Notice, he didn't say put on the breastplate of faith. Everyone teaches it's the breastplate of faith. He didn't say that. He said the breastplate of faith and love. Because you can't have faith without love. And from way to have fellowship, Brother Bram said, listen just a moment. I would rather have a church that knows nothing about spiritual gifts and just be so in love with each other and with Christ. I'd rather have that than every spiritual gift operating in the church. Now, that might sound hard in a Pentecostal group, but I would rather have it. Where there is gifts, they'll fail. Where there is gifts, they'll bring confusion. Where there is gifts, they can be questioned. But where there is love, it is perfect. That's right. And if you had perfect love, you'd have perfect gifts. That's right. So work first with love. That brings fellowship, and fellowship will bring the gifts. And from the message called Love, he said, now perfect love casts out fear. And that's the reason people won't take God at his word for healing. They don't love him well enough. Wow. They're not getting healed because they don't love God enough to believe him. You see, children, if they love their parents truly, they'll believe their parents when they talk to them. That's the reason people won't take God at his word for healing. They don't love him well enough because you're scared that he won't keep his promise. That's the reason that people fear somebody else will say something against them if they receive the Holy Ghost. They're afraid somebody will laugh and make fun of them. But when love comes in, and from perfect faith, he said, and when we were sinners, alienated, without God, in the world, and in that muck of the mud, as I talked about this morning, God come to us. God sought you. You never sought God. No man can come to me except the Father draws him first. And God came down in that muck, what you were, and he sought you out and brought you out. That ought to create a perfect love. Look what you was and look what you are. What did that? Somebody that loved you. Can't you have faith in what he's promised you then? Real, genuine love will create a confidence in his word. He caught me when I was nothing, and I'm still nothing, but I'm in his hand, see? He caught me, and he loved me when I was unlovable. He loved you when you was unlovable, but he changed you. And from the message, Perfect Faith, Brother Bram said, faith and love is relations. Because you can't have faith unless you've got love. Because your faith is in God, who is the very essence of love. Faith and love works together. Now, in reading from the Weiss translation, we get a better appreciation for the scripture. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4, remembering unceasingly your work which was produced and characterized by the faith which is yours, and your toil which is motivated and characterized by your divine and self-sacrificial love, and your patient endurance under trials which finds its source in your hope which rests in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God, even the Father. So I don't care how much you give your body to be burned. If you have not love, it means nothing. I don't care how much you give all away your possessions to feed the poor. If it's not because of love, it means nothing. So get love. And that is why Paul could say, there remaineth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Faith is the revelation. It is the access. It is the foundation. It is the starting point. But when faith truly takes a hold upon a man, it begins to move that man into action. And hope is the catalyst that begins the faith toward action. Faith in itself is a passive thing, but if it is a true, genuine faith, then it will begin to move that person who possesses that faith toward the goal of that faith. And hope is that thing that causes man to move forward with faith. Faith is the power, but hope is the steam that is released by that power. And love is the outward action that comes forth from that divine revelation. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your love and for the faith which you've given to us. And may our faith, Father, not be passive, where we know it up in our mind, but we do nothing about it. But may it put us into action. May it be married to love, that by love, the actions to help, the actions to watch out for our brethren, the actions to cling together to that which is good, hold fast to those which are right. Help us, Lord, to so love one another. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Help us, Father, to be as those people were in that other dimension where Brother Branham said that was where true love. That was where perfect love and only perfect love can enter that place. And may it be found among us in Jesus Christ's name. May all our lives, Father, the things that we do, the things that we say, may they be motivated by love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, Gone From My Heart, The World and All Its Fears. I love him. On him now, 372.
Gone from my heart, the world and all its charm. Gone are my sins and all that would alarm. Gone evermore, and by his grace I know cleanses white as snow. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation. Sin. Once was a slave to doubts and fears within. Once was afraid to trust a loving God. God. But now my guilt is washed away in Jesus' blood. I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me. And purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Once I was bound, but now I am set free. Once I was blind, but now the light I see. Once I was dead, but now in Christ I live, to tell the world the peace that He alone can give. Love me and purchase my salvation.